Gloria was dying, and he started crying as he was telling me all this, and I was writing it down, and I just grabbed his hand, and we just held hands for like 20 minutes while he was just crying, telling me all of these stories and all of this stuff I was able to write down, and I'd never seen him cry. I'd never seen like that side of him before, so it was really special for me to him to be able to share that with me and share things that he wasn't proud of, and even in front of Jan, telling me all of these things of his life. And I thought that was really beautiful for him to be able to be vulnerable and share his emotions with us like that. Because again, I always thought he was a little bit more reserved, but you know, that day he was just sharing and talking more than I'd ever seen him share or talk about anything. And he also told me he liked Beyonce as well, and I thought that was like really weird but cool. But so yeah, thank you, Jan. Thank you.
Anyone else? Kleenex.
My name is May, and I'm a good close friend of Ben and Jan's. I am known as the traveling partner and the donkey lady. We took a trip together just as he was starting to get ill, and I promised him I'd take him to Arizona and show him around. And so we became good traveling partners. Anytime he would want to just get up and go, he'd call me and say, "Hey, we're going. Let's go." And so they'd come and pick me up, and we'd take off and do these day travels. And I mean literally day travels. You know, I'd leave early in the morning and get back late at night. But it was very pleasurable. And I'm glad that I got to spend some last few moments really close with him. We took one last trip, and he had a good time. It was hard on him, but it was a good time. He had fun. And I hope that the day trips never end, and that we can still continue. And but he was a good close friend here at church. He was always teasing me, and he was trying to teach me Spanish, and I would say something, and he'd say something back, and I'm like, I haven't advanced to that level yet, you know. But he was good, and Jan and I have been close, and I hope we can continue that. But anyhow.
Anyone else? I have a few I want to share, just because of who Ben was in my life. And I was privileged to be able to be his pastor. He'd come in the morning, and he'd say, "Good evening," and he'd shake my hand. And he'd come in at night and say, "Good morning," and shake my hand. And one day, he came in the morning, and he said, "Good evening," and I said, "Good evening." "Good morning." And he said, "Evening somewhere." I said, "Yes, it is." And then another one, you may have recognized the tie and the wedding photo. He came to me and he says, "I got to have a silver tie." He says, "And if anybody has a silver tie, it's you, because you have a ton of them." And he said, "I don't really want to buy a tie for one time." And I said, "Man after my own heart, just as cheap as I am." And I said, "I happen to have a silver tie. I haven't even worn it yet. I got it, and I thought someday I'm going to put that with something, and it's going to look good." So I wore that tie today in memory of Brother Ben, because he was the first one that got to wear it, and he brought it back. I knew he'd take care of it and bring it back, and so I got it back from him, and I said, when I was trying to figure out what to wear today, I had several different things decided, and I said, "You know what? If I wear black with that silver tie, it's going to stand out and pay tribute to Brother Ben. And so he always would come in, and he'd have a smile on his face, and he'd be ready. And one day after our flood in the basement, I called him and I said, "The guys just told me if I get this drinking fountain out of the hallway, which hasn't worked for I don't know how many years, as long as I've been here since 2009, the thing hasn't worked. I said, if I get it out now, they'll be able to put the sheetrock up and we won't know it was ever there. I said, do you know how this comes out? It was the middle of the day. And he says, I'll be right there. I said, no, all you have to do is tell me what I'm looking at and I'll get it out. He said, I'll be right there. Wasn't a few minutes later, long enough to get from his house to here, and he came and he gets down under there and he takes that thing out. And he says, now all you got to do is buy a couple plugs and seal these off and they can put that wall in. And so we got it done in no time at all. And that's the way he was. You could call him and say, I got to have this done. And he was there and he was ready to do it. And so I appreciated that. And then the last one I'll share, I got tons of them, but the last one I'll share is got to go to the hospital when he had his surgery. And they don't let many people in, but as a pastor, I have a free pass, so I get to go in. And so my wife and I went, and he had no idea we were coming. Miss Jen knew we were coming. And so we walk in, he goes, what are you doing here? He had no idea it was us going to be there. And so we prayed with him before his surgery. And then afterwards, we stayed with Miss Jen and had a great visit with her while surgery was going on. After we knew he made it out of surgery and all, my wife and I left. And later on that day, he called me and he says, how you doing? I said, the better question is, how are you doing? You just went through surgery. And he said, I'm doing great. I said, this is shocking to me that you're doing so. I mean, he sounded like he hadn't had surgery. He sounded like his old self, like he'd always been like any other day. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I talked to him several times after surgery before he went home to be with the Lord, and he was sounding really good. And then I got the call that things weren't so well. And so my wife and I, we just started praying and praying and praying, and God took him home. God took him home. And but Ben's desire, he told me over and over and over, says, I want everyone to know the Savior. I want everybody to have the relationship with Jesus Christ that I have. I want people to know the Lord. And so that was his heart's desire. And he said to me, he says, the best thing that could happen when you do a service is to make sure people know how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That was his desire. So today's message is going to be exactly what he asked for. If there's nobody else that wants to share, I want to make sure I don't leave anybody out. All right. I'm going to start with 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I was just recently talking with somebody, and they said they didn't have assurance of salvation till later, but I'm telling you that the Bible says we can know for sure. We don't have to guess. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to have a think so. We can have a know so salvation in Jesus Christ. Brother Ben had a no-so salvation. He knew he was saved. He knew he was on his way to heaven. I talked to him before surgery, and he said to me, he said, "Pastor, no matter what happens, I'm ready. I'm ready." But he shared this with me. He said, "My concern is leaving Miss Jan alone." That was his concern. First and foremost. He said the other one was he wanted his entire family to be with him in heaven one day. Those were his biggest... He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about people knowing for sure they were going to be there one day. He did tell me this too, Miss Jen. He says, "I know she's coming to be there one day too." Praise the Lord for that. In John 8:32 it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." To be set free from the bondage of sin. I'm going to take some time and we're going to go through the book of Romans. It's known as the Romans Road in most places. I've used this on occasion when people have told me they want this type of message at their service. And so the Romans Road of Salvation is a way to show people exactly how they can come to know Christ as Savior. So before you leave here today, you'll have no excuse. You'll know for sure. You'll know for sure. It's a powerful method of showing the way of salvation that God has provided through His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I like it when God uses all, because there's no way to confuse that. Some might get around that, right? No, all. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is exempted from that. Every last one of us have sinned. We've all done things that are displeasing to God. No one's exempt. There's no one who is innocent. You know, we try to act innocent, right? You get caught. You know, you might be a child with your hand in the cookie jar and you get caught and I'm innocent, right? Hard to be innocent with the crumbs all over your fingers, right? And the chocolate, if you like chocolate, that is, around your mouth. It's hard to play the innocent card then. Well, no one's going to play the innocent card with God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then Romans chapter 3, and starting in verse 10 and going through verse 18, says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Man doesn't fear God. The second scripture I want to look at is in this Romans Road to Salvation, is Romans 6:23 teaches us about the consequences of sin. "For the wages of sin is death." Eternal separation from God. Death. Punishment. Punishment that we have earned for our sins. Not just this physical death, but eternal death. Folks, we're going to spend eternity in one of two places. We can spend it with the Savior of the world, and it'll be glorious. I like the fact that God has given us in His Word how glorious heaven will be, and I still believe we only get a glimpse of it. But he also tells us about a place he created for the devil and his angels. And he gives us a pretty good picture in his word about what that's going to be like. It was Ben's desire that no one would spend any time there, let alone eternity. The third part is the second half of Romans 6:23. Says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, we can have eternal life, but it's only through Jesus Christ and what he's done on our behalf. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ came to die in our place, even though we were sinners. People say, well, I deserve to go to heaven. No. What we deserve, we don't want, trust me. God has given us a way to escape what we deserve. But we have to accept it. We have to accept it. While we are enmity, the Bible says, while we were enemies of God, Jesus came into this world knowing he would be crucified and put to death. Knowing. You know, I've told the church family here many times, can you imagine God knowing himself that we were going to sin before the foundations of the world? He made a plan to reconcile us to himself. And Jesus, before he left heaven's glory to come down here and be crucified, to shed his blood for our sins, knew he was going to have to do that. And yet he came anyway. Amazing. This is a gift. A gift. Now, if you've ever heard me speak about gifts, free is my favorite price. It's my favorite price. I told you already, I'm cheap. Free is my favorite price. Brother Ben used to say, yep, if it's free, pastor's all over it because it's free, right? Free is my favorite price. The free gift of eternal life. It costs you and me nothing, but it costs God his very best. He paid it in full for all of us. Jesus died for us. Jesus paid the price of our sins. For the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to die to pay that penalty for our sins. Jesus died. But his resurrection proves that God accepted that sacrifice. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. The fourth stop is Romans 10:9, which we've heard already. It's amazing how God puts things together, because Brother Ramos and I didn't talk about what each one of us was going to share today. But here's a verse that God gave me to share again, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That word shalt means it's a done deal. Do you get it? Some of you don't know, but I also have a real estate license. When you write a contract and you put seller shall do whatever, if they sign that, they have to do that or break the contract. God never breaks a contract. When God says, thou shalt be saved, he means it. He means it. The fourth stop, as I said, Romans 10:9. And then, because of Jesus' death on our behalf, all we have to do is believe in him, trusting his death as the payment for our sins, and we shall be saved. Sounds pretty simple, huh? Then why does man make it so difficult? Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That whosoever means anyone. Anyone. There's no exclusions. None whatsoever. There's no excuse for not accepting the free gift. Jesus died to pay our sin debt, to rescue us, and keep us from eternal death. Had a guy one time asked me, he said, "What are you going to do when you die?" I said, "I'm not ever dying. I have eternal life." I said, "Well, you're going to die someday." I said, "This flesh is going to lay down and die one day. I'm going to live forever." Brother Ben knew that. He was going to live forever. The fifth aspect in the Romans road to salvation is the results of salvation. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That peace. Through Jesus Christ, we can have a relationship with God the Father. Amazing. I like it when people ask me, "What religion are you?" I said, "I don't have religion. I have a relationship." There's a difference between religion and relationship. You know anything about the Word of God? He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, said they were a religious bunch. He rebuked them. They needed a relationship. It's all about a relationship that Jesus has made possible for us. The sixth element is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." See, our sins have already been paid for. The penalty of sin has been paid for if we accept that free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a simple process. If I was up here handing out $20 bills, I bet it wouldn't take long for you guys to get up here and get them. In fact, I'd probably be trampled to death as they were being taken out of my hand. But this is more valuable. And yet people reject it. I don't care. You can make them $100 bills if you want, $50 bills. Whatever you want to make, people would be trampling the aisles to get to them. But something that has so much more value is rejected. The seventh aspect assures us that now we have the power to overcome sin. We can overcome. In Romans 8:31, excuse me, the latter part of that, and verse 32, it says, "If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" All things. They're great. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have that relationship with God the Father, you have that relationship where you know that God's going to supply your every need. It's an amazing thing. Brother Ben knew that. The eighth and final promise is vital. We have this promise from God in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is eternal security. Secure in the hand of God. Secure in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sealed by the Holy Spirit. It's a done deal. You can follow the Romans road to salvation and accept the free gift of eternal life today, if you've not done it already. You can do that today. All you have to do is go to God and confess that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Cry out to Him to save you. Now I'll say there's no magical words. You just tell Him what's on your heart. Had a person come forward, walk the aisle, said, "I want to get saved. I don't know what to say." I said, "Just tell God what you want. Tell God you're in need of a Savior. Tell God that you're a sinner, condemned, unclean. Just cry out. Just talk to Him like you're talking to me. Tell Him what's in here." And he knelt right here and accepted Christ as Savior. What a blessing. What a blessing. Some are going to trust in their works instead of in Christ. In Matthew 7, 22 and 23. It says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" You see, there's many people that are going to come to the same point in their life as Brother Ben did. One day, it could happen to any of us. When we stand before Jesus and we give an account, I don't want to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And thank God I won't, because I have that assurance of salvation. So have you made a decision for Jesus Christ? If you haven't, there's still time. As long as you have breath, there's still time. If through this message, or even what Brother Ramos shared earlier, or even maybe something Brother Ben shared with you throughout his life, brought you to that point, today is the day of salvation, the Bible tells us. We don't know we have tomorrow. Last time I spoke to Brother Ben on the phone, he was waiting. He was ready to go home to be with Miss Jan. He was ready to go home here. And he sounded like he was doing really well. I bet if I'd asked him at that point, I would have said, "Brother Ben, do you think you're going to be with the Lord tonight?" He'd have probably said, "Not yet." But God took him anyway. Let me tell you, you can have victory in every aspect of your life through Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to tell you something I share, and it's true. I know for a fact, if Brother Ben could come back here today, I don't wish that on him. He'd have to go through all that stuff again. But if he could come back today, he would beg and he would plead with you to accept the free gift of eternal life. He's rejoicing with the Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for salvation being free. We thank you for Brother Ben's life and the fact that he had a desire to share his faith with others and that others too would have assurance of salvation. Father, I know I'm looking forward to seeing him again one day. I know there are others here that want that same thing. It's my desire that everyone here would want that same thing. But Father, I pray we'd be looking to you for all things. We thank you for this time that we've had already. We'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry for the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. But the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't see.
last thing that God's just laid on my heart that I need to share. Brother Ben one day called me, and he left a message on my phone in Spanish. I have enough trouble with the English language. Spanish is not my forte. I have no idea what it says, but I've saved it. And one day I'm going to find out. And then when I get to heaven, I'll get even, right? Anyway, he was a character, that's for sure. And I'm going to miss him. Going to miss him. Anyway, we have reception set up downstairs. We would like for everyone to stay. The family is like you to stay and spend some time downstairs. Plenty of food, so please stay for that. All right? All right, let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, we thank you for Brother Ben and his life. He was Brother Ben to some of us. He was dad. He was husband. He was brother. His father, many, many different hats, great grandpa, grandpa. But he was a child of yours. And we were all blessed to be able to know him and to spend the time that we've had with him. Father, I pray that you'd be with the family, the friends, that you would comfort, strengthen, and encourage each one. Father, I pray, I know Brother Ben's desire, my desire, your desire is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I pray, Father, before people leave here today, if they've never made that decision, I pray today would be the day. Father, we also ask your blessing on the fellowship downstairs, the reception with the food. Ask you to bless the food to our bodies. And we thank you for all that you're going to do. And once again, Father, we won't fail to give you all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys want to go first?